Let's take our Bibles and turn over to Luke chapter 15. You remember that last Sunday we started a little miniature series on true discipleship. This is the second message in our series. And this is one part of a story that Jesus told, a story about the prodigal son. The story of the prodigal son has three stories all contained in one. We're going to look at two of those today, and we'll consider the third one next Lord's Day. Luke chapter 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And so he told them this parable. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go to the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." So our message today is about the lost sheep and about the lost coin. One of the things that surprised Jesus' audiences repeatedly was that many times while he was speaking or while he was ministering in a manner of healing, one of the things that he would do is that he would fellowship with people that were considered to be known sinners, people that weren't very good about their lifestyle and had many things that did not represent God very well. But nonetheless, Jesus Christ was somebody who would receive them and even was willing to eat with them. Back in those days, to eat with somebody was a mark of great fellowship. And so Jesus doing this was a great surprise to these scribes and Pharisees. They thought they were better than everybody else. They thought that they were not sinners like the rest of the world. Unfortunately, they were as bad as anybody else. There are not only sins of the flesh, but there are also sins of the spirit. And certainly the scribes and Pharisees had the latter type, sins of the spirit. They continually looked at the law that God had given, and they thought they were so good that they always kept the law in every way, and therefore they were without sin, while the rest of the world was all full of all kinds of evil and so many different ways that they could possibly not begin to think of these people any other way than just plain sinners. But we see here that in response to their remarks, Jesus Christ tells three stories. The most famous of the stories is the third one that we'll look at next week. But this one and the one that follows this morning, stories number one and number two, are all part of one single thing, trying to teach the fact that everybody is a sinner in God's sight. There's nobody that can stand up and say, "Well, I'm better than somebody else," or have a better attitude. Jesus made it very clear that all are sinners and that all need salvation, and that he himself has come to be the savior of sinners, that he stands ready to bring to salvation all who seek him and want to call upon him. Notice the story here. He starts out by talking about a shepherd. I was mindful of this the other day. I was riding down the street over here, and I saw that huge, big flock of sheep that are out there. Again, as we're riding down the road there into town, why, it's amazing just to see how many sheep can all gather in one place. It's hard to imagine 99 sheep and have one sheep that was lost. But that's what Jesus does here. He tells a story about one sheep that had wandered away. Well, just as a shepherd doesn't sit around and do nothing when one of his sheep has wandered away, in the same way, Jesus didn't just sit around up in heaven and say, well, isn't that too bad? You know, there are people out there who are sinners, who are lost, and I'm just going to have to let them go. After all, they made their own choice, and that's just the way things are. On the contrary, the Bible says that he left his home in glory. He left his home with his heavenly Father. He humbled himself. He made himself in the likeness of sinful man. He did not sin, but he made himself in the likeness of men. And he came down into the world to seek and to save all who were lost. But there was a story here that there was one sheep that was missing. It's a sad thing to find this sheep missing, because in these days, 100 sheep was about the size of a normal flock. If a man was a shepherd, he usually had a flock of about 100 sheep. Now having one missing, he realizes that something is not right. And there was a very strict requirement too, that if any of the sheep were lost while he was in charge of the flock, he was responsible to make good the loss. If one was stolen away, or if one wandered off and was perhaps consumed by some animal or something like that, it was the responsibility of the shepherd to come along and pay the price or do whatever is necessary to secure the loss once again, to make sure that there were still 100 sheep as part of that flock. And that's what Jesus is telling here. He's talking about something that's very familiar in his day. This was, remember, an agricultural community, a farming community, a place where people knew a lot about different animals and so forth. And so he's telling them something that is close to home. And now he says that the sheep has wandered off. Why is that? Well, somebody who knows about these things has recorded that one of the problems is that sheep are not always the smartest animals in the world, that they just tend to wander off and they don't think about where they're going. They don't have any thought about the danger or the lack of security or anything like that. They just are wandering away. And you know, so often that's true with people as well. As human beings, sometimes we just don't think. We don't think properly about the directions that we are taking, the decisions we are making. All of these things are perhaps leading us into a position of danger or great difficulty. And yet, many times sinners are not thinking about that. They're thinking about what they want for themselves. They're thinking about a good life. They're thinking about an enjoyable life, something that will be pleasant to them. The Bible talks about the fact that we like the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all those things that are part of the world and its philosophy. That's where sinners are. They're right there following the ways of the world. And of course, that's something that's very dangerous, because as you know, we've said many times before, there's only one letter difference between two words. There's the word and there's the world. You add that letter L, world, and there you have two different philosophies described right there. The word, of course, is the word of God, the right way to go, the way that we should walk. And yet, there's also the philosophy, rather, of the world and the directions that the world would have us go. So the sheep wanders off. Now what's going to happen? Is this going to be a certain loss, or will the sheep be found? Well, in this story, the shepherd goes off to find that lost sheep. You say, well, what happened to the other 99? There were no doubt other shepherds who were watching over the 99 while he went out and tried to find that number 100 sheep. Anyway, while he was out there looking around, we find that he is taking whatever means are necessary to bring this sheep back safely. A number of years ago, there was a beautiful song that appeared in the hymn books. It was a song by a lady named Elizabeth Clefane, and her song was the song, The 99. I don't know if any of you remember that, but In that song, the words go something like this. But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night ere the Lord passed through before he found the sheep that was lost. And you know, that's true. Sinners don't realize how dangerous their position really is. When they begin to wander away from God and they begin to wander into the ways of the world and they become more and more wrapped up with the things that are destructive and dangerous, a lot of times they're not really thinking about it. And it's like they are those that who, if they are ransomed, they never really knew how dangerous their position really was. It's like the hymn writer says, none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed. But you know, there was one who knew, and that was the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd is Jesus Christ himself. And so what did he do? Well, as far as he was concerned, the journey was intended that he go out and find that sheep. And so off he went. 99 were still protected, but number one had to be found. And so they searched, and he looked everywhere. And other shepherds were watching the ones that were safe, but not everyone was safe. There were those who were wandering, those who are in a dangerous position. You know, that's the way it is too with many people, maybe that even you know yourself right now. People who look like their lives are together, and yet without realizing it, they've entered into danger. They are walking far away from God. They're walking in the ways of sin and something that is going to lead to certain destruction if they do not find that someone is able to obtain their security. But when the lost sheep was wandering far away, the shepherd went out and he found the sheep. And you notice the great love of this shepherd. This shepherd is so concerned about making sure that the sheep get home safely, that he goes out and once he finds the sheep, he takes the sheep and he lays the sheep on his very shoulders and carries that sheep all the way back to the farm. You know, I can just picture that in a certain sense, because I remember years ago when a farm that was right behind our parents' house there, many of the Smit cows would wander when a new calf was born. They would be born out in the field, and the farmers kind of knew about when that time was going to happen. They knew about when the due date was going to be for cows, and so they'd have to go out and do what? They'd have to go out and find that calf. And sometimes they'd go out and they'd look, and it wasn't readily available. But then as time went on, they would hear the sound of a little baby calf and whatever, and some of these people, like, you know, back in those days, remember Terry Smith was a pretty strong guy. He used to pick up a whole calf and put that on his shoulder sometimes and carry the calf up the hills, big hills out here, and bring that calf all the way back to the barn, bringing the cattle back in safely. And the same thing was true with the sheep. And sheep are not the lightest animals in the world either. You know, some years ago, I'll just tell you a little story. We had to bring a message around the time of Easter. And I had to bring this message to South Christian School where my kids were going to school. And I thought, how in the world could I make this interesting for these kids? And then it dawned on me that we had all these sheep right near our house. So I stopped at the family there and I asked if I could borrow for one day one of their sheep. And they said, all right. I told them what I was going to do, and they said, fine. So we got two great big boxes, and one of them was empty. The other one had a sheep inside of it. And I brought those two boxes to the school, and all these kids are looking at these great big presents here with these big boxes, wondering what in the world is in those boxes. And I said, all right, I want to have one of you come up here and open the box and see what's in it. Boy, they were eager to find out, and they opened it up, and there was nothing in the box. Why not? Because it was Easter. The tomb was empty, and there was nothing in that box. But what about the lamb? What about the sheep? Well, when they opened the second box that was there, what did they find? They found a live sheep right there in the chapel service. And all these teachers are looking, you know, they don't know what to think. A live sheep here. And I said, all right, kids, everybody, let's come down here and maybe we can pet the sheep or whatever. And oh man, they all got up. All these teachers are sitting there thinking, oh well, he'll never get all those kids back into their seats again. But you know, we did. It was amazing. I'll tell you, the Lord really helped me on that one too. But it was an incredible story just to see the sheep that was there. And that's what happens here in this story. They went out and they found the sheep. They put it on the shoulders and carried it all the way back. And you know, that's what Jesus does too. He's a great shepherd. He is one who goes out and he seeks the lost sheep. And not only that, but he finds them, and he not only takes them, but he carries them on his own shoulders and brings them all the way back. What amazing love, what commitment in order to bring the lost sheep home safely. You know, that's what Jesus does too. And that's what Jesus wants to do with all those who are far from him and who don't know salvation. He wants to bring them one by one. It's not that we bring ourselves, but it's something that he does. It all starts with the shepherd first of all. Salvation always begins with the Lord. The Lord seeks us before we ever even realize how lost we really are. And yet he goes out and he seeks us and finds us. Well, it's a great little story, but Jesus wasn't done. He went on to a second story, a story about a lost coin. And this is an interesting story too, because it tells us about 10 silver coins. And these are called drachma. And a drachma was the equivalent of one day's wages. I don't know how much you would make if you worked for a full day. You probably have some idea, those of you that are still employed, about what you can earn in one day's work. Well, you figure that out, and that was the equivalent of a drachma. And yet, she had 9 of them still there, but where was the 10th one? She couldn't find it. It was lost. And you know, that's where sinners are too. They're lost. The lost sheep is in the position of not security, but of danger. But what about the coin? Well, the coin is not in a position of danger, but it's in a position where it has lost its usefulness. When a coin is lost, you can't use it. You can't spend anything with it. You can't buy something with it, rather. And that's what was true here. And as she began to look around, she couldn't find it. So why not? Well, the commentators tell us that back in those days, the houses in Palestine were houses that were very dark. They didn't have nice lit assemblies and so forth like we here have, where we depend on our lights. If things are getting dark at night, what do? We flick a switch and we've got light all over the place. But not in those days. It was something that was hard to see always. They had oil lamps and so forth, but many times it was dark and they couldn't always find the things that were lost. And so she had to go out and she had to sweep and she had to clean and search all over that house trying to find that one lost coin. Not only was this the equivalent of one day's wages, but it was also many times part of a dowry. She would receive at the time of her marriage or of her wedding, she would have 10 of these, so it would be the equivalent of 10 days' wages she would receive, and they were part of a band sometimes that people wore around their heads or around their necks. And it was a reminder of the fact that they not only had something of value there, but this was something that was a reminder of a deeper relationship that they had too. Now, if one of the coins is lost, what does that indicate? Well, it indicates that the beautiful a necklace or whatever was missing one of the coins. And as a result, there was a fact that the wedding that was symbolized by this was somehow affected in this. And so they looked everywhere and hoped they could find it. What happened? Well, the lady looked, she searched, She did everything she could, and she finally found it. And what happened? Well, she called her neighbors and said, "Good news, I've been looking. I told you I was looking for this coin, and I didn't know where it was. I couldn't find it, but now I have found it. Let's rejoice. Let's have a time of celebration." And so they did, because something that was valuable, something that was useful, something that was important for everyday life had now been found. It had been restored once again. You know, that's where sinners are many times too. They're not only valuable to God, but they are also people who, when they are lost, they are out of their usefulness. God has made everybody with certain talents, certain abilities, certain gifts, certain abilities so that they can be useful in the service of God, in the service of the kingdom. And yet when someone is lost, what happens? The usefulness many times is not there. But you know, when a person who is lost comes and is found and is brought back into fellowship with God, what happens? There is a restoration that is happening. And not only a celebration, but also a restoration, because the coin has been found and it's been restored to usefulness once again. So Jesus Christ tells us here that that's what happens with this coin in this story. Now, we look at that and we say, what do we learn about all of this? Well, first of all, we learn from both of these stories that both teach the same thing, that God is many times far more interested in finding lost people than even lost people are in being found. They need God to seek them out and to find them and to search them out. And God is not only able to do that, we notice here from both stories, from the story of the willing lady and the willing shepherd, that God is also willing to do this. We talk about something that's very important. We talk about the well-meant offer of the gospel. What does that mean? It means that God is willing to bring people to salvation. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all are brought. And that's what we see here in this story too. We have a great reminder here of the fact that God is out seeking and searching, and how important it is that people be found. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but has joy and pleasure when there is true repentance and when there is true restoration once again. And you see that here too. You know, we think that the joyful things are always to do with the big numbers, the 99 that are still around yet. Well, the Lord is certainly happy about that. But you know what? When one individual who is lost is found and is brought back into salvation, what happens is a great celebration, a great rejoicing. Why? Because that which is lost is now found. There has been a restoration that has taken place. Some people might think, well, you know, I'm lost and I can't ever be found. I'm too far gone. But let the man who thinks that and thinks that he cannot possibly repent, or that God would certainly not be interested in having him, realize this fact, that God's desire to see people brought back into fellowship with him is very clearly evident here in this story. You notice that when a person is brought back, that God not only rejoices, but there is great rejoicing in heaven too. You know, people sometimes say, oh, I wonder what heaven's really going to be like. Is it going to be that enjoyable? Well, just think about that. Do you like to be around places where people are happy and where people are thrilled and rejoicing and happy? Yes, you say, well, I'd rather be around people that are happy than not. Well, just think, in heaven, when are people the happiest? When are they rejoicing? When are they celebrating? It's when lost sinners are brought back to the Lord, when they are brought into a relationship with him. And there is that evidence that God is willing to receive them, and what's more, to forgive them and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. God doesn't want to just leave us out there in a lost condition, in a place where our security is gone. God doesn't want to just leave us into an area of non-usefulness so that we never really are able to accomplish what he has intended for us. God wants to take each one of us and bring us back into fellowship with himself so that we can have a proper relationship with him. The question comes down to this. Where are you in these stories? Are you someone that maybe you're like a lost sheep? You've wandered away without even realizing what's been happening. And before you know it, you suddenly find yourself in a dangerous position, moving farther and farther away from God. Or maybe you're like the sheep that, or like the woman rather, who has lost her silver coin and she's looking for it. Its usefulness is gone. The value to her is gone. You know, are you like that coin? You say, well, you know, a coin can just be lost. It can fall out of somebody's pocket, or who knows how a coin could be lost. Yes, we don't always know how people get in the situations that they do, but the fact is there are people out there that need help. They need to be found. They need to be sought after. Whose responsibility is that? Well, in the case of the shepherd, it was the shepherd himself who was responsible. After all, who was held accountable if they did not have all the sheep that were there? The shepherd was responsible. You and I are responsible also to do everything we can to bring lost sinners to Jesus Christ. That's not an option. That's not something that's something we can just think about doing. True discipleship means what? That we are willing to go out and seek and to save those that are lost, to bring them one by one to the Lord Jesus Christ. The same thing is true with a coin. This is something that we shouldn't just sit around and say, well, you know, I lost it. I guess it's too late. There's nothing I can do. It's something that is of value and ought to be sought and ought to be found and ought to be brought back and to be made useful again. And that's something that is all of our responsibility. We talk about the shepherd as being Jesus. He's the good shepherd, and certainly he is the one who goes out and seeks and saves the lost. But you realize, of course, that he has called us to do that same mission. Why are we here in this world? Jesus is not only the good shepherd who is seeking and saving the lost, but he has also sent us to do that. He has given us the Great Commission and told us to go out and make disciples of every nation, seeking people everywhere, bringing them one by one by one. Sometimes a sheep may be lost, and that's something that saddens us very greatly. But still, there are sheep that are being brought in, and who knows, maybe you will be the one that will be responsible to help bring a lost sheep into the fold once again. Same thing is true with a coin. It might be something that's it's not there, and we don't know why, but we just think, oh, well, what's going to be is going to be, and I can't do anything about it. We need to search. Why? Because these things are important. You notice that there is such importance attached to these things that even in heaven they are rejoicing happily when they find that the lost has been found. Doesn't that tell you something about the mind of God? God is eagerly looking for the lost. God is eagerly concerned to see that which is lost be restored once again. He doesn't want to see just things continue in a lost condition. And so Jesus was trying to tell these people, you criticize me, scribes and Pharisees, because I'm concerned about lost sinners, because I eat with publicans and sinners. And you make fun of me and you criticize me and you think I'm not a very spiritual person because I dare talk with sinners and so forth. But you know, I have a reason for it. And we need to have that kind of response too as well. Not all of our friends are going to be Christians, nor should they all be Christians. Nothing wrong with having Christian friends. It's a good thing to have Christian friends. But you know what? Some of the friends that we have in this world too are people who need to know about Jesus Christ and need to be brought to a saving relationship with him. We must not overlook these people either. God doesn't overlook them. Why should we? We're placed in this world to carry out the same mission that Jesus established when he was here on earth. Now that's our mission. We talk about the fact that this is a place here where we want to bring the whole word to the whole world. Do we really mean that? Are we willing to do whatever we can to help bring the lost to salvation in Jesus Christ? And here we see how important this is to God. And so Jesus starts out with two very strong stories that indicate how important this really was. They might criticize him for his love of sinners and his desire to save them, but he himself knew how important it was, and he knew how important it was to God. And so he sought this, and he continues his story in our next lesson about that of the prodigal son and the older brother. By the way, I'll just tell you one little thing before we go into that story next week. A lot of times people think that the story is all about the prodigal son. That's only part of it. The story itself has its strongest point in talking about the elder brother. See if you can find out why. Just read the rest of Luke chapter 15 and you'll see the importance that is often overlooked when people study the particular story about the prodigal son and his brother. And God helping us, we'll get into that in our next study. So that will be number 3 in our series on true discipleship. Let's pray to God now. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have shown to us again how important salvation really is, and that you are a God who wants to seek and to save those that are lost, that you are concerned about bringing each one back into the fold and having fellowship and restoration. Lord, help us to be a part of that. Help us to be a part of that ministry, that witness, as we seek to bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ and to bring them to personal salvation in him. We pray all these things now that we might be a part of your work here in this world. Lord, it's not just your work only, but it's our work as well, work that you have given to us. Help us to be found faithful in doing the things that are our responsibilities to do. We pray this now, asking it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.